content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jen Rogers from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Catster.com and Dogster Magazine. We'll begin today's program with an article about cat behavior and Ask the Behaviorist. How do cats show affection? Look for these 7 affection signs by Marilyn Krieger. How do cats show affection? Let's examine some forms of cat affection using body language, postures, and vocalizations. How do cats show affection? Cat kisses, grooming, tail fluffs, chirps, and mews. These are a few of the sweet ways that cats show affection to the people they feel close to. But some signs of cat affection are subtle. They are often misinterpreted and sometimes overlooked. So, how do cats show affection? Typically, kitties do not demonstrate their warm feelings towards people in loud, boisterous ways. They don't wag their tails or shower their loved ones with sloppy kisses like some dogs do. Instead, cats whisper their affections. Here are some signs of cat affection that every cat parent should know. 1. Cats show affection through their eyes. How do cats show affection with their eyes? It's a pretty good indicator that your cat trusts and enjoys your company when she looks at you with half-closed eyes while slowly blinking. These special eye blinks are called cat kisses and are reciprocal. You can tell your cat you love her too by giving her cat kisses. The sign of cat affection conveys relaxation, contentment, affection, and trust. They help build and strengthen your relationship with her. She may respond with more slow blinks. 2. Cats show affection through their tails. How do cats show affection through their tails? Tails are emotional barometers, accurately conveying emotions through how they are held and positioned and the degrees of fur puffiness. When combined with body language and other indicators, they communicate a gamut of emotions from fear and aggression to affection and happiness. Whereas most people readily recognize signs of fear and aggression, they are not aware that tails are indicators of cat affection too. Cats often show their emotional attachments through tail placements. Connection is demonstrated by twining tails around legs and arms of their favored buddies. Sometimes kitties express warm feelings as they relax next to their people while physically touching or resting their tails on them. Although I'm trying not to anthropomorphize, the sweet behavior reminds me of holding hands with a best friend. In addition to tail wrapping and touching, kitties express happiness and warm feelings by fluffing out the base of their tails while subtly quivering them. Simultaneously, they hold their tails upright with a sly curve at the top. This behavior is sometimes called the happy tail dance. Usually, it is accompanied by an endearing kitty love blink. 3. Cats show affection through cheek rubs. One friendly way cat greets those they trust and feel safe with is by rubbing their cheeks on them. Cheek rubs are a sign of cat affection that are also invitations for socializing. Kitties have scent glands on their cheeks that produce pheromones. In addition to showing their favorite people trust and affection, felines mark ownership through the behavior and mingle their scents with those they are attached to. With cats you don't know, you can encourage socialization by extending your index finger toward the cat at about her nose level. It doesn't matter whether she's a few feet away or across the street. If she wants to say hello, she'll approach your finger and touch it with her nose and then turn her head until your finger is on her cheek. If she trusts you, she will rub your hand with your cheek, indicating that she's open to socializing. This may be the beginning of a beautiful friendship. 4. Cats show affection through head bunting. This is a sign of cat affection that also marks you and mingles her scent with yours. This is a social cat affection behavior that does double duty. In addition to showing trust and friendship, head bunting proclaims ownership. Scent that is produced from glands located on your kitty's head is transferred onto you when she butts you with her head. 5. Cats show affection through language. Chirs, chirps, purrs, trills, and mews often communicate endearments and trust. Although mom cats communicate reassurance to their kittens through chirs and chortles, these sweet sounds of cat affection are often reserved for special people with whom cats feel close to. Endearing emotions are also expressed through other vocalizations such as special meows and mews. Some are soft and kitten-like, while others are louder. Purring can also indicate that your kitty is feeling secure, safe, and reassured around you. Her purrs may show affection, especially when she accompanies them with kitty kisses and other expressive cat affection signals, such as touching you with a paw or tail. 6. Cats show affection through grooming. Cats who feel connected and close to each other will mutually groom. This behavior helps them relax, shows trust, and builds a community scent, important for recognizing family members and buddies. People are not exempt from this sign of cat affection. Grooming isn't reserved for just those of the same species. Cats will sometimes lick their human friends, displaying affection while mingling their scents. 7. Cats show affection by hanging out on and around you. How do cats show affection when they follow you? Felines like being around those they feel an affinity for. Your special kitty might be relaxing near you or napping on your lap. She might position herself so that she touches you. Her back may be against your leg, or she reaches out and pats you with a paw. Even if your cat isn't a lap cat, she may still demonstrate she feels connected to you by hanging out nearby. Some kitties follow their people around the house. Food isn't part of the equation. They trail their humans because they like being with them. Some tag along, following those they feel connected to from room to room. The bottom line on cat affection and communication. Cats are very good communicators, using a combination of body language, postures, and vocalizations to express their feelings. Although cat affection is subtle and at times complex, they have a variety of ways of showing affection and trust to the people they are attached to. Next, we'll move on to an article titled, 4 Books for Cat Lovers to Check Out, by Annie Butler Sharifs. From Exploring the Art of Arguing with a Cat to 88 pages of photos of feline paws, discover what cat books we're loving right now. Cat lovers will want to check out these feline-centric reads. First one is How to Argue with a Cat, A Human's Guide to the Art of Persuasion. In this fun book by New York Times bestselling author Jay Heinrichs, you'll learn the dark secrets of persuasions from the master themselves, cats. Our feline friends can talk us into just about anything without a word, although there's some meowing involved, of course. But try getting a cat to do what you want. While it's difficult, persuading a cat is possible, and once you've done that, persuading humans is a breeze. Featuring illustrations by Natalie Palmer Sutton, this book will teach you how to argue logically, even if your opponent is furry and irrational. Make your body do the talking. Cats excel at this. Learn the wisdom of predator timing to pounce at the right moment, and many other lessons grounded in the science of rhetoric. Next is My Cat's Album. If you've just adopted a new cat, this cute scrapbook by Alberto Bertolazzi and featuring art by Ayano Otani will help you document your life with your new companion by providing a place to record your cat's history and stages of growth. You can customize the cover, which features an image window for your cat's paw. While die-cut envelopes through the book store keepsakes, mementos, and more photos. It's a great way to remember the beautiful moments of your life together, from your cat's arrival, favorite games, and even the occasional domestic disaster like a newly shredded sofa. Next is Cat Paws. Sure to put a smile on any cat lover's face, this cute book from Japan has 88 pages of nothing but kitty paws, shot from a different kinds of angles. It also features fun and fascinating trivia about paws and how cats use them to express their emotions, whether they're high-fiving their favorite human, showing their prim and proper side with cross paws, or dramatically covering their eyes. And finally, Cat Flap. Have you ever wanted to be a cat? It sounds great until you actually become one. This enticing and humorous satire written by award-winning journalist Alan S. Cowell explores what our feline friends really feel about their lives indoors. You'll meet Dolores Tremaine, who is on an extended business trip abroad, but a part of her remains at home in the family cat. Follow X, the Tremaine's cat, as Dolores negotiates a deal with high-powered auto executives hundreds of miles away in Germany, while part of her is tagging along in the brain of her cat and is discovering some disturbing things about her husband. And now we'll finish up our catster portion of today's program on an article titled Spend a Penny, Save a Life by Jen A. Kelly. Pennyfix, founded in 2017 by 5 women in central Pennsylvania, is lobbying the pet food industry to add just 1 cent to the cost of each can of pet food sold in the United States. That money would be used to provide free spay and neuter services for every dog and cat in the United States. What if you could spend just 1 penny and alleviate the suffering of hundreds of thousands of animals? You'd probably do it in a heartbeat, right? The good news is there's a project dedicated to doing just that. PennyFix, founded in 2017 by five women in central Pennsylvania, is lobbying the pet food industry to add just 1 cent to the cost of each can of pet food sold in the United States. That money would be used to provide free spay and neuter services for every cat and dog in the United States, as well as rabies and distemper vaccines, all for free. This includes unaltered pets, strays, feral cats, and animals in adoption shelters. The inspiration for PennyFix came from years of watching the population of unwanted cats and dogs grow well beyond the capacity of the existing shelter system to provide needed care. Even if the shelter system was coming closer to keeping pace with the growth in the unwanted cat and dog population, more shelters does not necessarily lead to more animals finding permanent homes, says PennyFix founder Lynn Stitt. Given this environment, we firmly believe that the new approach is necessary to address the problem. That's where PennyFix comes in. The effect. How would 1 cent per can even make a dent in the ever-growing problem of unaltered animals? According to the American Pet Products Association, people spent $29 billion on cat food in 2017. Although the organization didn't break the amount down between dry and wet food, if we assume that half of that $29 billion, or about $14.5 billion, was spent on wet food, that would mean $145 million to be spent relieving the suffering of unsterilized animals every year. Assuming a spay at a low-cost clinic is $100 and a neuter is $50, that breaks down to almost 100,000 animals spayed or neutered and vaccinated every year. And that's just with funds from canned cat food. If you add the funds from sales of canned dog food, the number of animals that could be helped could be at least double. A positive reception. Pet food manufacturers see the benefit in PennyFix. While our contact with pet food manufacturers and distributors to date has been limited, our proposal has been well received, Lynn says. But our greatest immediate challenge to gaining access to the decision makers at the major pet food manufacturing companies. The goal is to get pet food manufacturers to understand that the additional penny won't affect their bottom line and that supporting PennyFix is a good public relations as well. Pet owners have also been enthusiastic about PennyFix. Many pet owners and pet lovers participate in activities that assist abused, abandoned, and sick animals, and they understand firsthand the need to stop the unnecessary killing of unwanted cats and dogs, Lynn says. They clearly see PennyFix as a humane way to reach that goal. Raising awareness. PennyFix has been active on many fronts to make people aware of its initiative. But in order to get buy-in from pet food manufacturers, these companies need to know that pet owners will be willing to pay an extra penny per can of cat food. That would be a dollar for every 100 cans of cat food you buy. To that end, PennyFix has petitions available on its website. By signing the petition, you help PennyFix show the pet food manufacturers and distributors that their customers are in favor of paying an extra penny per can of food to support spay-neuter services for every animal in the United States. PennyFix members also attend animal-friendly events to help solicit support and gather additional petition signatures. The organization also does outreach to well-known celebrities and animal rescue and shelter groups, making them aware of PennyFix and asking for their active support. Most recently, we've been speaking to community organizations about this initiative and asking for their help to make it a reality, Lynn says. How you can help. Ultimately, it's all about us as pet guardians stepping up to the plate. The program would not use government money or money from non-pet owners, Lynn says. It's animal people taking care of an animal problem. First, sign the petition on the PennyFix website to show your support. Then, if you're connected with decision makers in the pet food industry and you believe in the PennyFix mission, arrange an introduction between PennyFix and that individual so they can discuss the project more in depth. So you should visit the organization's website at pennyfix.org or follow them on Facebook at pennyfix2017 and Instagram at pennyfix2017. Next, we'll move on to Dogster Magazine and the Doggy School Dropout section, Why Dogs Love Nose Work by Annie Phoenix. Dogs have at least 200 million reasons to love sniffing and participating in nose work. And they could have as many as 1 billion reasons. Dogs' nose capabilities are nothing short of amazing. They have between 200 million to 1 billion olfactory cells. We inferior humans have a pitiful 5 million. Just think of all the amazing jobs dogs have thanks to their nose abilities. They sniff out cancer, diabetes, seizures, illegal drugs, explosives, deceased humans, lost humans, and much more. We can't do these amazing things, but our dogs sure can. We need their skills. Teaching sniff and let's go. A dog's impressive nose explains why they forever want to stop and smell the roses and everything else when out on walks. I actually beg owners to allow their dogs to stop and sniff when out and about. Just look at the shape of the dog's nose and its length compared to our stubby little noses. Why it's important to us snub-nosed people is not the same thing that is crucial to a long-nosed dog. You can light up a dog's brain by allowing her to sniff, sniff, sniff on walks. I know what you might say, but it's boring and takes forever on a walk if I let my dog sniff the whole time. Boring for the human, yes, but exhilarating for your best four-legged friend. I ask owners to work out a system that both species can understand. For example, I say, let's walk or let's go when I want my dogs to move along. When it's okay for them to sniff about, I tell them, go sniff. I had to teach them the meaning of these cues, but it isn't hard and it shouldn't take long. I think it's cool to start a walk in a new exciting place and then demand a dog to move forward now. Please don't do that. Set your dog up for success. Let her start the walk sniffing everything. You determine the time, but I love to see at least the first 10 minutes and the last 10 minutes be all about the dog's needs. Praise the sniffing and tell your dog go sniff as she's marching toward a fire hydrant to get all the updated females. You can start teaching your dog a let's go command by walking on concreted areas at first to limit the appeal of the surroundings to your pooch. I live in a very quiet neighborhood, so I can safely walk in the middle of the paved road, especially in the middle of the day. If your area is too busy, you can always drive to a quieter spot. Pick up the pace and your energy level and say, let's go, and move out together. If you need to bring a toy or treats to encourage and reward forward movement, do it. The daily walk can become a source of joy to you both instead of a battle of the nose and your desire to get you and your dog a lot of exercise. Your dog will be happier and even more tired using her big nose than she will be galloping around the neighborhood without being able to sniff, sniff, sniff. Get into nose work. Beyond the walk, there are numerous ways to enjoy nose work games. You can Google fun canine nose work and find many free videos that demonstrate how to teach your dog fun nose work in your home and backyard if you have one. You'll be doing your dog a solid favor while tiring her out playing a game of Find It indoors. It's especially helpful when the weather outside is rotten, but it's a game you can play every day and few dogs tire of it. Canine nose work trials have taken the sport world by storm the last few years. For many years, I was a member of the National Association of Canine Scent Work, caninenosework.com, a wonderful organization that hosts nose work trials for dogs finding and alerting on three scents. The group has talented certified nose work trainers all over the country. If you want to kick it up a notch and get fun and demanding titles for your dog in this sport, I highly recommend looking into it. Most every dog I've worked with has loved this sport. My dogs passed the 3-ORT odor recognition test on Birch, Anise, and Clove, and my senior border collie learned the sport starting at age 10. I've even met older dogs who enjoy nose work trials. It can also be an amazing thing for highly reactive dogs to learn. I wish you and your dogs a lot of sniffing and fun out there. Next, we'll move on to the Be Fur Active for the Love of Dogs article this month, titled Ending Breed Discrimination by Lauren Kadams. For years, pit bulls have been a polarizing topic. On one hand, they have a bad rap for being aggressive and dangerous and have been banned from cities, housing developments, and last year, Delta Airlines. On the other hand, there's a movement to rebrand them as Pibbles, a nickname created to show a softer and no doubt trendier side, a dog fit for a family pet. In reality, pit bull isn't a breed. It's a term used loosely to describe American pit bull terriers. American Staffordshire Terriers, and Staffordshire Bull Terriers. Big head, muscular, stocky body. While pit bulls may have a way to go before reaching doodle status, pit bull type dogs have a growing group of supporters combating breed-specific legislation, BSL, which bans or restricts dogs, most commonly pit bulls, because they are perceived to be a threat. One New York-based group, Animal Farm Foundation, AFF, which trains pit bulls to be service dogs for people with disabilities, is furthering the cause by offering financial aid to people working to end BSL and the people being affected by it. Who is really being discriminated against are the owners, says Nicole Juchem, AFF manager. A little help. Shelter workers often cite housing bans on specific breeds as one of the top three reasons pets enter the shelter system, according to AFF. This year, the foundation began offering grant money through its Pet Accessible Housing Grant to people in neighborhoods working to change that. The grant funds programs created by individuals, communities, or organizations that are designed to keep people and pets in their homes. The requirements were intended to be left broad, to be as inclusive as possible with funding opportunities, Nicole says. It's open to anyone, she says. It's about affecting change in the community. Another grant, the Community Impact Grant, is designated for activists fighting against discrimination, both at the local and national levels, by furthering programs that pair foster dogs with people recovering from addiction, offering reduced or free veterinarian services, and creating pet-accessible domestic violence shelters. Each dog is an individual. Alongside funding for active programs, the foundation selects dogs nationwide, mostly from shelters and animal control facilities, to train them for service positions, helping people with disabilities ranging from individuals with hearing loss to others in wheelchairs. After the dogs arrive, the first 30 days are spent getting to know each dog. There are some dogs that we can tell in the first few days that they want to be pets and go home on the couch, says Bernice Clifford, Director of Behavior and Training. While those dogs go through a more traditional adoption process, the others are put through a series of tests to see how they will react in different settings, such around farm animals on site and in a local horse sanctuary. These animals have to be excellent in public, Bernice says. They have to tolerate all other animals and people. The dogs typically train anywhere from 6 months to a year before being paired with a human. A select few dogs qualify for the foundation's detection dog grant, where they go through canine training, learning to detect guns and drugs, and eventually join police forces nationwide. Paws of Purpose program. Another avenue for those dogs that show they can function in a chaotic environment is to be paired with a select group of inmates at Rikers Island Correctional Facility in the Bronx, who train the dogs under the oversight of a certified professional dog trainer. The program is really designed as a human program to help inmates learn to work with other people, Bernice says. Each dog typically has 3 to 5 inmates on his team, which is assigned different jobs each week, such as basic obedience training, house training, and sitting on the couch and watching TV with the dog, so the dog learns to be calm in a home environment. Some of the dogs go on service roles, but the majority get adopted as pets, Bernice says. Pause for this cause, what you can do. While the grants have been privately funded, the foundation is now fundraising to further its cause. Go to animalfarmfoundation.org to see how you can get involved. Dogs don't speak up for themselves, so it's up to you to help. Challenge bans on specific breeds in your community. Pit bulls are the most common dogs in shelters and also have the highest euthanasia rates. Don't overlook the pit bulls in your adoption or fostering quest. If you have a pit bull, it's up to you to be a great pit bull ambassador. Make sure your dog gets annual training and is socialized well so people see how great your pit bull is. Keep all dogs, pit bull or not, on a leash in public places. Next, we'll move on to WAGs. And this month, it's McKibben Aloft Hotels to the Rescue by Bryn Noel. Imagine arriving to your hotel after a long day of travel. Exhausted, you begin the check-in process. When you notice movement behind the registration desk. Curious, you peer over the counter and notice a smiling dog, tail wagging, practically begging for you to say hello. Members of the hotel staff invite you to spend time with the pup, and you feel the stress of the day melt away after being greeted by kisses and wiggles. He's available for adoption, the staff member says. What started as a humdrum business trip has resulted in you finding a new best friend and family member. This hypothetical situation has been the reality for hundreds of travels as they stayed at 4 different Aloft hotel locations. It started with the real love of dogs, states Emma Ledbetter, corporate food and beverage manager for McKibben Hospitality, and the person who spearheaded its dog foster program following 2 serendipitous plane rides. Initially, Emma was hoping to establish a hotel dog program and was working with management to develop a plan. The plan changed after sitting next to a representative from Charlie's Angels Animal Rescue on a flight. They chatted about their dogs and started to brainstorm a way to establish a partnership. 2 days later, Emma found herself sitting next to the same person They picked up where they left off and came up with a plan. Here's how it works. The rescue is responsible for vetting potential adopters. Hotel guests submit an adoption application, and the rescue contacts landlords, veterinarians, and checks the home. The hotel serves as the temporary home and caretaker for the dog. They maintain a food and walk log, arrange for an observation period to allow the dog to get settled and feel comfortable, and help guests visit with the dog. Guests and local residents have gotten wind of the partnership between Aloft and rescue groups and have started to stop by for a visit and bring local treats and other goodies for the dogs. Some guests have traveled long distances with their current dogs in tow to have a meet and greet with the adoptable dogs. Being able to have a chance for dogs to meet may not be possible in a shelter environment, but it's possible at dog-friendly hotels. The four McKibben Aloft hotels, Asheville, North Carolina, Orlando, Florida, Greenville, South Carolina, and Tallahassee, Florida, have adopted out over 360 dogs. What started as a project that Emma thought would take 3 months for a dog to find a home resulted in the first dog being adopted in 3 days. We never stopped. We always wanted to have a dog in our hotel. Even though we're in the business of being at hotels, we're willing to dedicate our time to helping improve the lives of animals in need. For more information, you can visit aloftashvilledowntown.com, mckibben.com, or charliesangelsanimalrescue.com. We'll finish today's program with just a little fun tip from the Health Talk section of Dogster magazine by Jackie Brown. Puppy dog eyes, a recent development. Who can resist the sweet pleading of puppy dog eyes? New research suggests that dogs actually evolve new muscles to allow them to give people soulful gazes in order to better communicate with us. A study published in June in the Journal of Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences compared the anatomy and behavior of dogs and wolves and concluded that domesticated dogs have developed a muscle that gave them the ability to raise their inner eyebrow. The researchers also believe that expressive eyebrows in dogs seem to compel humans to want to take care of them. We've run out of time for today's episode of All About Pets. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jen Rogers, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time, if you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.